think it that would be the minimum.
The remote intervention is a live person?
Yes. So there are, you know, various procedures we'll have to put into place to do that. Should be good. Should be good for the customer.
What's the ballpark cost per unit?
I hedge a little bit because it's not like we have the, you know, the RFP released quite yet, but it's about to be, and we'll know better then, but we think over $100,000 per unit.
Does that include the maintenance and the remote? So
no.
That's just
the
physical capital cost.
Correct.
So do you have a sense whether the, whatever the opposite is, the operational costs compare, how that compares with the current coin boxes? You had your slide on what we do to make our customers happy.
We think they will actually be somewhat comparable, especially when you consider the fact that we would have more people paying more accurately without the troubles with coins.
Mm-hmm.
So when our initial analysis has been that's okay, but part of the proof of concept will be fine-tuning the whole approach so that we don't see giant M&O cost increases to support the idea.
And we still do maintenance. It's not as if, you know, when these coin baskets break down or somebody puts an obstruction in it or something happens, you know, we send a maintenance team out to fix it. So it's not as if they're maintenance-free. But it definitely would be something I think that when you take a look at the cash collected at a particular location and the cost of installing the machine and the cost of maintaining it at that location and the trend toward continued cash, you know, I would say that that's the evaluation process that we would have to make before, you know, installing the replacement.
And I assume that the people who manufacture these are thinking about future technology, telephones and watches and things that can go bing in the night?
That is our understanding, yes. And we would make sure that we had access to that as the technology developed.
The collection right now is around $14
million. Per year, yeah.
Do you anticipate that increasing at a certain percentage with these new machines?
I think along with traffic and then commercial rates, the answer would be yes, but otherwise.
And do we assume that if you've switched from coin only to credit cards, that it will reduce our costs in the cash part of our operations?
I would anticipate that there would be at least some operational adjustment to that part of our cash operations, but then there would be other things like the receipts, putting the receipts in versus taking the, you know, coins out. There will still be coins in those machines, so that we still have that.
And there's still cash collected, and the majority of cash collected at other locations, on the mainline locations. So, but we'll have to see.
These are all sorts of things that we need to spend the proof of concept working out, because we need to tweak it so that it's the best operational outcome possible. It does represent a change in operation.
And does this come back through customer service as it goes forward or is planning?
I would say.
Is that the committee? Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Okay. Excuse me. So let's begin with the consent agenda. As I always boringly point out, these have been reviewed in committee in great detail, and lots of questions have been asked. Other board members who have questions receive the material in advance so they can email us and ask questions. So just as we fly through these, doesn't mean that they haven't been reviewed. So let's start with finance, the award of the contract. Is there anything further we need on that? Okay. So may I hear a motion on item 1?
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, that's approved. Business systems. We have one item under business systems, and that also has been reviewed. Is there anything you want to add on that?
No, unless Director Roddick has anything to say. To add to that, because we did discuss it in great detail at the FAO, and I know that we did do a vetting of that also, so if there's anything you wanted to add to that or not.
No, this is consistent. It's what had gone through our committee and consistent with the plan that we put in place, and I urge support.
Okay.
proposal.
And is this a sole source? There's been an explanation and a complete vetting of why this is a sole source, so I assume there are no questions on that.
Okay. No, has the sole source, has the hearing happened yet?
No.
Completed?
Nobody has asked one either.
No one has requested one, so, you know, if something changes in that regard, but as you know, that's a very thorough process. So.
Okay. So may I hear a motion on that, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition, recusals, abstentions? Okay. Let's go to procurement. Are there any issues here that we need to pull out?
No.
I know we have one recusal. We have Director Darcy. Darcy has a recusal on item 4. We'll take items 1 through 3, and then we'll take 4 separately. May I hear a motion on 1
so
through
moved.
3? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals or abstentions. Item 4, may I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Director Darcy is a recusal. Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. We'll do engineering. We have item 6 is a separate item that is not on the consent agenda because it was not presented in the committee, so Paul will do that separately. So why don't we do 1 through 5? That's okay.
Motion.
May I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Bless you. Proposals? Recusals? Okay. Let's do 6.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Item 6 is a supplement. This is for a firm that's doing construction management services for us on I-90. Some of the advanced work that we started in 2014. We did complete negotiations following the FAO committee on this, so it is ready to be presented to the board today. The delays were primarily due to, we did have a delay due to the core permit coming in a little later than we anticipated. Also, we had some utilities, and I had to get moved out of the way. Both of these have now been resolved, and the work is moving forward. It did cause the advanced work to extend into this year. We want this construction manager to finish up their inspection effort for us and also their oversight of this particular contract. It is the most efficient way to complete the work. The amount is $193,153.52. It is for additional construction management services on contract 4112, which we hold with STD. That's
that a request? We changed the scope on that?
Well, they had to work longer than we originally anticipated. The work was supposed to be finished in 2014, but because of its delay, not as much work could get done in that time frame, so they had to work through the winter, and then also they're finishing up the work in the spring. So it's basically, we're purchasing additional hours from the construction manager.
Okay.
Any other questions on this one? May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? I believe we have one recusal on 9, so I think we can take 7 and 8 together if there's a question on either of those. May I hear a motion for 7 and 8?
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? No abstentions or recusals. Number 9, Directors Sweeney and Darcy will recuse themselves, so may I hear a motion on 9?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The 2 recusals, any abstentions? Okay, and then I think you can take 10 through 14. Any questions on any of those? Okay. May I hear a motion, please?
Move to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstentions or recusals? Okay, those have all been approved. Now we'll turn to legal. Items 5, 7, 8, and 9 are not on the consent agenda, so we need to discuss those. We're deferring 5 and 7 until after executive session, so why don't we take...
And 8.
And 8.
I'm sorry.
5, 7, and 8.
Okay. Thank you. So why don't we take items 1 through 4?
No, I think that would be a summary comments to include all the high spots.
Okay. Why don't we take 2 through 4? May I hear a motion, please?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals or abstentions? Number five, we'll defer until executive session. Number six, are there any questions? Or David, did you want to make any comment on that?
Well, if there are questions, we thank the board for the patience. This has been a long-standing issue we've been working on, and we're glad to bring it to the finish line.
So this is the approval of the pool of law firms?
Correct.
Can I hear a motion on that?
So.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? No recusals or abstentions? Okay.
Seven and eight will be deferred to executive session. Item nine, which was not discussed in the committee, maybe we could have a presentation. David, are you doing this one? I think all the board members received materials on this last week.
Correct. So, Chair, thank you very much. We did put item 9 on the legal agenda for this month. As staff has been watching developments with other state agencies that we perform similar work to, and also just understanding some developments in the local construction industry, we thought it was appropriate to put some agenda time available for the board to give consideration to a longstanding practice at the tollway. And when I say longstanding, I'm talking about a practice that now this year goes back more than 20 years. And that has been the use of what's referred to within the tollway as the multi-project labor agreement, which has been a provision that has been incorporated in every construction contract since 1994. And the essence, and I know the board is familiar, but the essence of this agreement is that primes and subs on tollway work will be signatories to a current collective bargaining agreement with the applicable building and trades council in the locality where the work is being performed. So it's essentially meant that union labor was required on all tollway construction jobs, and this practice has been utilized at the tollway a bit uniquely in that we've had a standing blanket agreement with all the applicable building trades that has just been inserted in the ordinary course in all of our construction agreements. We have not approached this similarly to other agencies such as IDOT and the Capital Development Board, which have dealt with this more on a case-by-case basis. And certainly the topic of these so-called project labor agreements have been in the news lately, and so we thought it very appropriate, since we've been doing essentially the same thing for more than 20 years, that we give this current board here in 2015 a chance to at least consider the appropriateness, et cetera, of continuing to do what we've been doing. So I think that's the lead-in, Chair. Just by way of a further administrative background, this MPLA, which is a very pithy three-page agreement, has been installed at the tollway by virtue of a board action that dates back to 1994. And it has not been reviewed in any meaningful sense by boards since, so we think it's suitable, especially in today's environment.
Do you have questions on this?
Has it been reviewed by the courts? Any challenges to it, I guess, would be a more appropriate question.
You know, I brought Director Sweeney, one of our tollway historians, so I actually might turn to my colleague, Dave Wilson. Has it been reviewed by the courts?
This was reviewed by the courts, again, around the same time it was initially approved by the...
Dave, do you mind standing up so people can hear you?
This was initially reviewed by the courts in a case called Colfax versus the tollway back in 1994-95 and was upheld at that time, but has not been reviewed by the courts since that time.
The courts being the Seventh Circuit?
Yes. And the state courts as well.
And there's been additional litigation when it comes to PLAs that this same circuit has dismissed that it's law that has been set going back to Boston Harbor, correct? Challenges to PLAs in general?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, certainly, Director. There have been legal challenges to PLAs. I don't think anybody is contending that that we have a legal infirmity with our PLA or any PLAs around the state. They are certainly lawful vehicles for dealing in the construction industry. And I don't. We this board should have no illusions otherwise. There have from time to time been challenged. The challenge that David is talking about back in 94 at the inception of our particular MPLA was dealt with in a one-page to maybe two-page addendum which essentially resolved any concerns about would our MPLA be dealt with only in construction work, or did we have some potential broader application in mind. I thought it was pretty clear in the short MPLA, and it made it crystal clear in the addendum. So that was kind of the last, I would say, serious litigation involving, and frankly, the only litigation involving the tollways MPLA.
That was the Colfax case.
That was the Colfax case, correct.
The trade-off, from labor's point of view, is they give up the right to any job action, any strikes. If their contracts expire, they have to continue to work on this project or the projects that are covered by the PLA while they negotiate, or even while they're on strike across the region. There is no disruption to the tollway while that goes on. That's the trade-off in its, you know, concept.
I wouldn't say it any differently, frankly.
Yeah, I was going to ask either of you, I think going a step further, if there is a union in dispute with the contractor and they set up a picket line at a tollway project, this agreement also keeps people, they have to fulfill their contract. Everyone has to do their job. They can't honor the picket line per se. They have to continue working, so it guarantees that that kind of interruption doesn't happen either.
But you are obligated to cross the picket line, go to work, under penalty of bringing this to the courts and finding the organization that kept those workers out. So it's got some teeth to it, and that has been done in the past in other instances of violations of PLAs.
So about 4 years ago, there was the threat of some strikes on some IDOT.
There was a strike that in 2010 that went for nearly a month.
Mm-hmm.
And while that was going on in road construction, it was a road construction strike. It was my particular union, along with the laborers, the tollway work continued. That was being done. There were no pickets. There was no disruption or pickets at the tollway facilities.
I just remember we were alerted that it might somehow spill over, but it did not.
It's not. You're not allowed to let it disrupt. There could be some stoppage, some flow from equipment or materials that would be coming from a site that was struck.
Mm-hmm.
But, for instance, a lot of concrete paving is down here. We do the concrete in a lot of instances is made on site or just off site as part of the project. That wouldn't be disruptive. So the idea, I would think, you know, and I'll give my two cents, obviously, on this. From a labor point of view, you give up a lot in an area where, you know, the exchange is everything will be done union. Well, quite frankly, everything is done union in this state anyway. So the exchange really isn't that great, but what it does do, it stops from my point of view, from putting a labor hat on, if I could for a moment, in instances like with school districts. In that same year, we had there were many schools, and schools have a short window to get their projects done. It's really important that school districts, for instance, put PLAs on those projects so that if there's any disruption, it doesn't disrupt the schedule so the kids can be in school in September, because it's very easy to disrupt that. You know, those projects are done on timelines that are very tight, like this project that we're entering and are in the midst of right now. From the point of view of what's important to the users and the bondholders, I think it's important that the PLA be kept in place for those reasons. Quite frankly, contracts are up next year in the heavy highway for both the operators and the laborers unions. And I think it would not be smart for us to allow the tollway to be exposed to any possible disruption on this project for a PLA that's been in place for 20 years.
Other reaction to that, or questions, or comments?
I can respect Director Sweeney on behalf of the laborers. But, you know, as an elected official myself, as a mayor, we don't have any agreements like this. And we're just coming off our fiscal year, and we did about $7 million worth of capital, which is nowhere near what the state tollway does. But we gave those contracts to the most responsible bidder. And when you really then dive into how that $7 million, over 75% into union companies. But what
it allows us to do as a municipality by not just using unit companies. It does allow us to go and get those small businesses to work. And it shows that just by paying prevailing wage, they can coexist, and there is no loss of work to those companies that did the higher-end stuff. And it's going to happen again this year. We see the small businesses, by the time you look at what they're making, as long as they're paying prevailing wage, you put total up all the small businesses that are doing work for my city, doesn't compare to the amount of money that the union companies are making. But everybody, when I say is eating, everybody is creating jobs for us, is putting those businesses that live within the city, you know, to have these contracts, and they're not union. And I'm a big believer that as long as it coexists, but we get the most responsible bidder. We don't look at whether they're union or not. We look at the price, we look at the type of work that they've done. And if 75-80% of the work went to union companies, they were the most responsible bidder. And I think that would be what would happen here at the tollway, that we've seen the same companies coming over and over. I believe that the union companies that are doing work at the tollway, and as much work that we're doing at the tollway, that it's still going to be there for. But it also allows maybe those smaller companies to come in here, like the first one that we had with that landscaping contract that only two people responded to a bid for a $300,000 project. And if they were maybe not happy to be a union company and only paying prevailing wage, how many more landscaping companies could have done that $300,000 work? They're not out there trying to do the $20 million construction project on the tollway, but that side work that they could have done it had prevailing wage been there rather than the MPLA. So I look at it as an elected official, as a mayor, as it works for the city, it works for the county. And this thing goes back to 1994, and it's time to relook at that. Maybe it can work for Tolbert. And it is old, and sometimes you have to look at this stuff, and you just can't continue just because it's been on the books.
Because something old is, it's not good anymore. Being 55 now, but I would argue with you that you're putting it on the head. You do have to pay prevailing wage regardless if you do this work. We have brought numerous small companies in and under the tent here. In fact, myself reached out and brought minority small companies in here, one and two horse operations, who have been able to come in now and bid. The issue isn't being union or non-union. The issue here has always been the problem with bonding and the ability to be able to be able to bond and get in the deal. I haven't seen the objection to the union non-union issue. It's been the ability for them to get over the hurdles of the things that we've put in place as a state, bonding and such, things like that. But on a project like this, for, as you say, 80 or probably 98% to 99% of the work will be done union, why expose? I'm just strictly wearing my tollway director hat. We have to do what's best for the tollway, what's best for the bondholders, is not to expose, especially at a period like this when we are in the midst of the largest building project, one of the biggest public works projects in the country, to expose it to the possibility of a labor dispute. Now remember, it's not only a contract dispute. If you have a small subcontractor or a large subcontractor on the project who is delinquent in paying their benefits, what happens all the time? And Council Goldberg, you understand because we've talked about it many times.
Sure.
You have the right to strike to collect those workers' health insurance and pension benefits. That would be occurring as well for every single construction union that does work on the tollway project. It's not just operators, it's carpenter locals, small carpenter locals, small tile center locals. You know, think of the possibilities that we would expose the tollway to in return for nothing economically, because it's all done prevailing wage. And the real obstacles to, if we're trying to bring in as many small contractors and small businesses as we can, we need to work on the real obstacles, which isn't whether or not their workers get a choice to be in a union and whether or not those workers get the protection of a union, but whether or not the bonding provisions we put in place are holding those contractors back, because I've witnessed that and I have seen that with what we've done in trying to do our outreach to small contractors and small minority contractors, quite frankly.
And as you know from our last meeting, we do have a special initiative now to look at what are the things that are causing it to be difficult for small companies to come in, including the question of bonding and how we do that. So that is something we're aware of.
And there's also the aspect of the effect that the contractors who are from the area have on small businesses, their workers have on small businesses. Because one of the things that this does do is give a little bit of an edge to in-state contractors, in-state workers. And we have seen, what you can witness it in Indiana right now, you will be seeing the influx in Indiana because of the rollbacks and protections for workers that have gone on in the state of Indiana, an onslaught of out-of-state contractors and out-of-state workers who will come in and do these projects. Purchasing their equipment from where they come from, purchasing their pickup trucks where they come from, their workers purchasing their pickups or their trucks where they come from. I really think we are debating whether or not to mess with something, and I don't know why we would debate it. It has worked very, very well. If we needed to review it, I understand reviewing it to maybe say we need to tweak this or tweak that on it. That is, prudent. But to eliminate it in any way, I think is disastrous and ill-conceived for this board to even debate.
Other comments, questions?
One of my concerns is the skilled labor that we would have or not have. Having worked as an iron worker, I spent some time in Texas one summer. I worked next to guys that were being paid the same wage I was, but didn't come into an apprentice to journeyman level. And we're nowhere near as skilled, and I watched the guy get hurt because of that. And my concern is, if we go to prevailing wage on a blanket, we need skilled labor out on those roads for precision work, safe work, because that can open a door to friends, relatives, and neighbors that are going to get jobs at a journeyman level that haven't come through the stages of apprentice to journeyman. And I'm concerned there, having been in that position to work next to somebody that was not trained, and I left and came home. It just didn't fit for me that I was working next to a guy getting the same check but weren't trained the same way.
Although, if I understood Director Steele correctly, did I understand you correctly, you believe that most of the people who will continue on our projects will be people who will be trained union people?
Of course, there would be, apprenticeship trained, in-state trained workers, in-state residents. For the most part. You will get some that maybe come from joining areas, but it's there's very little.
Comments or questions?
Prior, meaning for legal, prior to 94, basically, the toll way utilized the PLAs in connection with some construction projects prior to 94. And what was the impetus for this in 94? Historically, what happened?
My understanding, and again, I started working the toll way in the carpenter shop in 1919 to legal in 91. I wasn't part of the drafting of the MPLA. My understanding is that on the Tri-State Widening Project and the original North-South Toll, we did have project labor agreements, which obligated a contractor or sub working on tollway construction projects to be signatory to an agreement or agree to be bound by the terms and conditions of an agreement added to that tollway job only. Okay, what the impetus was to move to an MPLA, I wasn't privy to those discussions.
So, were we to vote to eliminate the MPLA, this wouldn't prohibit the project agreements that existed before 94. It's still...
Or in effect today, right? We don't affect any contracts that are left today, right? They're already out.
I was about to say 100% to Chair Wolf's question. Director Peterson, how did you change the question?
No, I think it's a follow-up.
Same question. Yeah, 100% correct.
We would
be at the tollway, we would be viewed vis-a-vis project labor agreements, much more like our sister agencies at IDOT Capital Development, which means they are always free to be used. You use them on a case-by-case basis. You do the appropriate analysis with those who would be involved.
and this would be no way a prohibition on the tollway utilizing project labor agreements. It is the application of this blanket 20-year agreement, which is what we've presented today for at least consideration by the board.
If I could, on that instance, they, PLAs are not on a shelf, and you pull them off at your convenience. Many times, people will not sign off on a PLA as part of the coalition, part of the building trades, for numerous reasons. And some of them are they're usually parochial. It's, we have a contract coming up in the next year. It's going to be tough. We're not entering a PLA. We right now have this PLA that continues that really would not be challenged on labor's side, but the minute you give labor that tool, they will use it. I could tell you because I would use it, putting on my labor hat. As a director, I think, I'll say it again, it's utilizing the private sector for a reason. Almost every major project in Northern Illinois and or in this state on private work utilizes PLAs because it's so important in keeping the timeline from an engineering point of view, those timelines in place and no disruptions. And in exchange for that, you're really not giving anything up because you're going to be probably doing it Union A. So in this area, there are many in labor who believe we should not be utilizing PLAs, especially in the nine-county area. And that would be me, probably at the head of that line. I think it's a mistake for labor to be doing that blanketly. Because when you do come up to contract negotiations, you find yourself at a point where you have no leverage in getting what you need from management. So there's my dirty little secret.
Okay. Anybody else have questions, comments, or dirty little secrets? I think we're ready for a vote. I was going to do this as a voice vote. If anybody cares to roll call, we can certainly do that.
Yeah, I would request a roll call.
Okay. May I hear a motion to move?
So moved.
Second.
Director, Chair, sorry, if you're going to move to a motion, could I give you specific motion language so that the board is
oh, clear? Absolutely. Sure.
Would that be?
Okay, I thought we were using the resolution.
Do I have it right that you're wanting to move to that right now?
Yes.
That's voting level.
Yes, please.
So the motion would be to resolve and direct the tollway to take all appropriate measures so that the agreement known as the Multi-Project Labor Agreement and addendum thereto, previously executed on or about April 29th, 1994, shall be terminated effective as of May 1st, which would be staff's recommendation. That's a little editorializing. May 1st, 2015, with respect to tollway construction projects for which bids are opened on or after May 1st, 2015. Furthermore, it shall be the policy of the board that with respect to said projects, the multi-project labor agreement will no longer be applied to or made a part thereof.
So this is the resolution that we have on our machine. Does anybody want to talk about the timing and the applicability? That was all in the memo that everybody received about which existing projects would be covered. Okay, I think we're ready for a roll call.
Don't you have to take the motion? I think you need to take the motion again now that we know what the resolution is.
Okay.
So, the motion, if this is out there, my motion would be not to vote on eliminating it, but to leave it in place.
No, I understand. So, the motion is to hereby direct staff, pursuant to what I just read, if that's what the board is inclined to do.
To approve the resolution 9.
It'll be memorialized in the resolution language, Chair, that you'll enter, but for the board to vote on it is a motion to do what I read into the record.
Do you want me to draw your second? I would draw my second. That's what it's based
okay,
on.
Okay, well, I think we're going to start again to do somebody to move the motion that David just read.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Do you do a roll call now? Ready?
Again, the motion is to eliminate the MP, the project labor agreement.
Approve the resolution.
To eliminate.
To do that. Yes.
Okay.
Chair Wolf?
I'm in favor of the motion. Yes.
Director Sweeney?
I am against.
Director Reddick?
Aye.
Director Banks?
Yes.
Director Wisner?
Nay.
Director Darcy?
Opposed.
Director Gonzalez?
Yes.
Director Dodson?
Aye.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Director Peterson, I apologize.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. The motion passes. Thank you. Okay. Do we have anything else under legal?
which is not okay. Until executive session.
Okay. Is there any unfinished business? Okay, may I hear a motion then to go into executive session?
So that motion would be pursuant to exceptions in the Illinois Open Meetings Act, Section 2C1, to discuss personnel matters at the tollway, 2C2, to discuss collective bargaining matters for the tollway, and 2C11, to discuss pending litigation against the tollway.
Okay, and we have a second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Everybody enjoy spring when it comes. We're back in regular session. We have three items we want to take up. Item 5, a workers' comp settlement, and then 2 collective bargaining items, item 7 and item 8. We can take all 3 of these together unless there's some objection to that.
Okay. I might do the collective bargaining in a separate motion, if you wouldn't mind, Chair.
Each one separately?
Thank you.
Okay.
That would be terrific.
Well, then we'll do all 3 separately, because that's what happens when you do each of the 2 separately. The third one gets separate. Okay, so stop being flipped, Laura. Okay, may I hear a motion for item 5, please?
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? Okay, item number 7, may I hear a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals, no abstentions. And item number 8?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals, no abstentions. Thank you very much to the General Counsel for working through these 3 things. We appreciate it. And to Mike Stone, who's not here, and always Christy for doing these. Now may I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition to adjournment? Okay. Everybody have a good month. Thank